Then, catching the stern look in the father superior's eye, he turned to Simon. What did you actually see? In little staccato sentences, the beanpole young man told how Hilary had said you would be getting back to the mainland. She used to jest with me a little. Charles thought Simon's use of the word jest was somewhat contrived. She did today. She said there was room if I wanted to come back to Glasgow with her. She said there was room in her plane and in her bed. Simon, you'll stop that coarse talk. Father Gregory sounded like a loud, illegal firework. You'll stop it at once. Brother Simon looked as though he wanted the ground to swallow him up. Get on with your story. Quietly, from Kit Palfrey, who'd come up softly behind Father Gregory. I like watching Hilary landing and taking off. Brother Simon sounded almost half-heartedly defensive. You like watching Hilary, period, Charlie thought. Hills with the little turned-up nose and the freckles and the neat jelly-mould breasts. Yeah, get in there, Brother Simon. Brother Simon, sensual keeper of the gate. Pause. Deep breath. She's got guts, that girl, Simon said. Spunk. But something went wrong today. She was fine. Then about halfway there was a bang. From where? Palfrey was suspicious. Gregory reached over, distracting Simon, motioning the younger man to take off his cloak to cover Hilary. Shouldn't have moved her, Gregory muttered, as though he'd just come to this conclusion. Get on with it. The bang. From where? Palfrey again. Charlie detected a hint of urgency. I don't know, but that's when the smoke started. From the engine? Maybe it all happened very quickly. Oh, Lord, it was terrible. Simon still sounded and looked as if in shock, white-faced, trembling, tears filling his eyes. It was some kind of explosion, a fire, I think. The plane just sort of disintegrated. Oh, poor Hilary. Will she be all right? Pray for her, Brother Simon. Gregory's head was down against the wind that streamed in from the sea, bleak and brutal. Go on with you. Round up others. Go to the chapel and pray for her instead of standing around cluttering up the landscape. The Father Superior sounded like one of those muscular rugger-playing Christians, more biblical fundamentalists than sung mass. Go on with you. His voice rose like a sergeant major drilling on a parade ground. Yes, Father. Simon shrugged, then started to slink away. Father Gregory looked up and caught Charlie's eyes, saw there some incredulity, and said sharply, Charles Gauntlet, what are you looking like that for? Prayer's the one thing we people in the religious life do well. It's the one thing we really know, praising Almighty God and interceding on behalf of humans who are too busy or just can't be bothered. That's what people don't understand. Gregory paused, looking about him. Then, taking a deep breath, plunged on. A few years ago, I saw a television program with some young, smart, alecky girls saying that nuns and monks were people who could not cope in the real world. Bah! Have you ever heard anything more stupid? They have no idea, people today, of what a calling is. We're God's shock troops, his commandos. Gauntlet again started to say something, but the Father Superior had not done. You modern people, you don't believe in prayer any longer. Well, I'll tell you, both of you, that while God's not dead and he still listens, there are not enough people getting on their knees and talking to him. God's will is always done, but there's immeasurable good done by intercession. Charlie looked away, and his eyes followed Simon, who plodded back toward the gatehouse, as another monk, tall and almost as thin as the gatekeeper, started to talk to him. The monk was wagging his finger at the younger man, as though it were an exercise for his muscles. "There's one of your monks giving young Brother Simon what you might call a wigging." Charlie lifted his head with his chin tilted. "Tall man, could double for death if he put a scythe in his hands?" Gregory did not take his eyes off the girl's face. "Sure, could also play Yorick at a pinch. Father Benedict, my novice master, a holy terror. He's a Christian version of Attila the Hun, or maybe the reincarnation of Torquemada. Secretly, I think he leads an organization dedicated to bringing back the knout." "Yes," Charlie nodded. "Brother Simon has spoken to me of this man." "Well, perhaps he'll get the real work done. The prayers said, price above rupees, a good novice master, and they're not any good unless they're feared by novices and monks alike. There was now a conviction in his voice that caused Charlie to glance quickly at Gregory's face, set and unsmiling. Gauntlet's eyes still watered from the smoke. He passed a hand over them, wiping away tears with a knuckle as he looked back at Brother Simon being harangued by Father Benedict. As Gauntlet did so, the view appeared to change for a moment, and he saw clearly who the novice master could have been. It was like drawing a curtain back to reveal his past, and he could also see himself as he'd been all those years ago. I know Father Benedict, don't I? Gauntlet looked up at the Father Superior. Maybe. How would I know? Another country. The old man would not hold Charlie's gaze. But I am right, yes. In his head, Gauntlet thought of the corporal at the DP camp, Corporal Knight, the control freak, the one who'd worked close to the dead Colour Sergeant Hammer. Corporal Knight, MP, friend of old Christmas Day, shortest day, Corporal Day. Knight and Day Incorporated, we used to say. Knight was there when Colour Sergeant Hammer died, remember? Remember? It's Colin Knight, isn't it? Laurel, today's Hardy. We always said they were like chalk and cheese. Knight had been thin and dark. Charlie saw him clearly, superimposed on the form of Father Benedict. Day was the one with the accent, built like a brick shithouse, jagged scar across his forehead. No need to be crude, Charles. Gregory's slap-on-the-wrist voice. As he spoke, Hilary Cook appeared to stir. A long sigh, followed by a groan that would not have disgraced the Disneyland spook house. Then a series of little snorts, combined with shaking the head to and fro. Charlie leaned forward again, touching her face, and examining nose and ears for any traces of blood. What happened? Her eyes opened, then closed. Bloody hell. Gently, Hilary. You're going to be okay. She had hazel-green eyes with gold flecks. Pretty eyes, Gauntlet thought. Pretty girl. For no particular reason, he suddenly imagined Hilary in lacy green underwear. Dirty old devil, he considered correctly. Careful, Charles. Keep on thinking like that, you'll get a stiffy. And Bex isn't here to take care of it. So hard cheese. Doctor's coming. Be here soon. Then they'll take you back to Glasgow in a helicopter. The Father Superior soothed. Can you hear me, Hills?
These helicopters.
Her head lolled again, and she went off on another short course in death. Then the breathing became regular and stable, and as Charlie glanced up, he caught Kit Palfrey's eye. Palfrey winked and gestured, moving his head, motioning Gauntlet to join him away from the monks tending the injured pilot. I want you to go with her, almost in a whisper. They were several feet from the group. Father Gregory, with Fathers Harry and Hugh kneeling around the girl, whose jeans, Gauntlet noticed for the first time, were torn down one leg, and whose fur-lined leather jacket had a rip on the shoulder. Go with her where? Charlie frowned. Back to Glasgow. I need someone with her. Why? Palfrey lowered his voice until it was almost inaudible. She's been working for me, keeping an eye on the holy boys. Keeping an... As Gauntlet said it, he caught Kit's warning in his face and eye, saw that the greyness was a reflection of the North Sea in midwinter, saw it was deeper than the sea, felt the stab of coldness that told him that Kit Palfrey was not to be trifled with, that this was not a game, but something far more serious. I got two of them, Hilary and a bloke called Rockwell, Romeo Rockwell they call him, also flies a Cessna out of Glasgow. Romeo Rockwell? Why Romeo? Your guess, Charles. The guy's dark and swarthy, thinks he's quite a lover. There's not much there. Gauntlet completed. I'll give you his number. He'll bring you back here as soon as you know she's out of danger, or... Kit left the worst possible situation unsaid. Charlie's ears hurt badly in the cold, making him screw his face up. Why? He asked again, like a 2-year-old child. Why are you doing this, Kit? I just need someone around to make sure the girl's okay.